Well, you know, we had the news last week, the Atlanta hub hit by a big hailstorm, and I understand that had quite an effect on a number of flights.
Both on Friday and even into the weekend, because it's one thing when our cars are subjected to a hailstorm, but it's quite another when it involves aircraft. Now, the storm on Friday night was so intense, the hailstorm, that they had 90 inbound flights to Atlanta that had to be diverted to other airports. And then you had the airplanes that were on the ground in Atlanta. Of course, that's a major hub for Delta. And they had 100 airplanes that sustained some sort of damage. And, of course, when that happens, the aircraft has to be checked out by a mechanic before they're going to allow it to fly. So they took 100 airplanes Friday night out of the schedule, and you know during a busy summer travel season, that's going to create some problems. It was inconvenient for passengers through the weekend, yes. But, look, when you're dealing with an issue of safety, it's a needed step by Delta and certainly well done.
You know, we're used to weather causing a lot of problems with flights at different times of the year. But are hailstorms of this magnitude very common?
They're not, but, you know, they come on us so quickly, the airlines really don't have a chance to prepare. You know, you give us a tropical storm or a slow-moving winter storm, airlines have got plenty of time because they have weather departments at every airline that look at, and then they will work with flight control to make sure that the aircraft are not in any of those impacted areas. But the problem is when you have these sudden thunderstorms that come on, yeah, you know you've got a front moving through, but you don't know how severe some of them are going to be. Boom, this stuff is on you in a heartbeat, and all of a sudden now you're struggling to try to get things, you know, you're responding to it, and that's exactly what took place here. So, you know, the nice thing is there weren't any accidents, no airplane issues, no emergencies, those types of things. Just a storm that slowed things down. And that's what happens when you've got a winter storm or a storm like this. It's going to impact operations to one degree or another. And I tell you, it's one of the reasons, again, when my wife and I, when we fly, Tony, we'll catch that first flight out in the morning if we can. Because it's the flight that's overnighted. The aircraft is there. The crew is there. It's the most important departure of the day. But during the summer, it's these afternoon time periods that are so incredibly subjected to storms and things of this nature because, you know, later in the day is when a lot of these things pop up. So obviously it's up to everybody when they want to fly. But personally, you know, Sherry and I will fly out early in the morning to make sure that we can get on a better, you know, nonstop on a more flight that's going to be probably on time versus those afternoon and evening flights that so many times are subjected to some of this bad weather.
I am with you. I fly back and forth to Phoenix quite a bit, and I always try to get that 5:50 a.m. flight out so yeah. I don't have to worry about those things.
Now, my wife fights me on those because she's not a morning person, but it's definitely worth it if you can get there because all it does is improve your odds of the flight being on time. Plus, you know the aircraft is already there.
Exactly.
And if you are catching that first flight out, if there's an issue the night before, the airlines will generally contact you that night saying, look, the flight's coming in late. The crew needs X amount of rest. We can't leave until 2 hours late. You know about it before you get to the airport most of the time.
It's always nice to look out there and see the plane already sitting out there, too.
Yes. And I tell you what, when I was at Northwest, the last thing you ever wanted to do was have that originating flight leave late. Guaranteed a phone call from your boss that would not be happy if that happened.
I can imagine. I understand, Jay, that we've got some major cyber criminal groups trying to target the airlines during this busy summer travel season.
Yeah, this group's called Scattered Spider. They kind of came on the scene, at least as far as I'm concerned, 2 or 3 years ago when they went after some Las Vegas casinos, hacked into MGM and Caesars, and they'll go after like a sector at a time type of thing. Well, now this same group apparently is targeting, airline industry. They just recently hacked into some insurance giants, and now they're going after airlines. We've had WestJet, I think Alaska Airlines, and a couple of others that have announced that they have had issues. And we're being told it's not a safety issue. It's not something that's going to cause an airplane to crash or anything like that, but it could certainly slow things down, which is what we've seen. So right now what we're looking at is the airline industry is dealing with this. Now, we've heard some airlines, like American and others, that recently have had computer, quote, issues, and those haven't been identified as cyber hacks, but you're always kind of thinking in the back of your mind, could it be? And you and I have talked about how antiquated the FAA's computers are.
Exactly.
The airline industry is not much better. Now, they are better, but not much, because a lot of times you have a Delta, American, United, Southwest, you know, they've gobbled up like Pac-Man several other airlines. And instead of completely redoing the computers, they'll patch them all together. And that patchwork, the lack of the most recent technology for firewalls and things of this nature, many times leave them susceptible to these types of cyber attacks. So it's not exactly like they're trying to break into the latest and greatest in technology. A lot of this stuff is very old, and it's making it, sadly, a little bit easier for these individuals to get into. So hopefully, the airlines will do what they can to try to, prevent this. And, at least the airline industry is kind of segmented so that airlines aren't all interconnected like many of the other industries are.
Yeah,
so if they access WestJet, they can't get perhaps other type of airlines. And at least that part of it is good news.
Yeah, that something that I guess we can be thankful for in a way, although we wish we had those more updated systems. Jay, this is a holiday week, of course, 4th of July. It falls on a Friday this year. So does that mean that this makes 4th of July more like Memorial Day or Labor Day in terms of the number of people who are going to be flying?
It could, but, when the TSA gives us every morning the number of people that have flown, one of the things I'm noticing is, regardless of the day of the week, we're seeing a lot of days where we've had 2.93 million people flying a day. Now, keep in mind, probably less than six times in the history of aviation have we had more than 3 million people flying. So because we have these numbers as much as we've had flying, it's going to be pretty well busy regardless of the day. The one thing that, surprisingly, I have to remind people is that the fireworks you're taking to grandma's, you can't take with you on the plane. We call those explosives. And yet every single July 4th, people that are flying are shocked. I mean, beyond words, that the TSA is taking that from you at the security checkpoint, because that's something.
It makes you wonder what people are thinking when they do things like that.
Oh, they do. But the other thing is, if you have a specific type of phone. Now, the TSA has banned the Galaxy. I think it's the Galaxy 7. Let me get this. They issued an emergency order that the Samsung Galaxy Note 7 smartphone devices, that a lot of these came out in 2016, they're not allowed on airplanes. So if you're carrying one of those phones and you get to the airport when you're flying this week, the TSA will not allow you to take that phone. These are ones that overheat more than others, and they're actually preventing that type of phone from ever getting on an airplane. So if you're flying and you happen to have one of those older phones, the Samsung Galaxy Note 7, do not take it to the airport, because you will not be able to get it on board the flight.
So you might want to check and be sure you know what kind of phone you have. A lot of times you don't, so check on that.
I mean, it's one my kids and grandkids make fun of. You still got that one? Yeah, it still works, type of thing. But and most people, I mean, they're not going to have anything that old. But a lot of individuals do. And it's best to know, look, you don't want any surprises when you get to the airport. So that's one of the reasons I wanted to quickly throw that in, because that was breaking from last week since the last time we talked.
And finally, Jay, any hub delays we need to be concerned about this morning?
Minneapolis is the issue today, and I think it's going to be a minor one. Other than that, other than those late-day storms, Tony, should be a pretty good day to fly.
Sounds good, Jay. Thank you so much. Have a good 4th of July. We'll talk to you next week.
Looking forward to it, my friend. Thank you.